I think first and foremost, the main challenge has been related to the fact that we have held this election without any tangible reforms with regard liberalizing the media space. So basically, it's a replay of what we've witnessed as Zimbabweans. We still have laws that actually are hovering over the heads of journalists. And as a journalist, a practicing journalist, knowing fully well that there is a range of instruments that the state can use against the conduct of duty, you obviously have to be careful and extra cautious. It's sometimes in instances where you don't even need caution, where you need to really report and do your work. So the fact that we still have these instruments is one major cause for concern. Again, another issue has been the extra legal hindrances in the conduct of journalism work in Zimbabwe, where we've witnessed beatings, arrests by political activists, and the barring of circulation of papers in some communities. So that on its own is another problem. And then thirdly, it is the restrictions as they relate to our colleagues from outside Zimbabwe who have been wanting to come and report in Zimbabwe. So far, we've had two journalists that have been sent away, journalists that tried to come and cover the story in Zimbabwe, one Kenyan journalist and another working for City Press from South Africa. We had a report this afternoon or earlier on today where we were told and we are alerted to the fact that another journalist has been sent back home. That is a major cause for concern, because clearly if you are conducting an election transparently and you have nothing to hide, why not allow journalists to watch over the management of this whole process?
Are you saying that journalists are fearful of their life based on all these that you've enumerated? And what impact is it having on the ability of media personnel to work effectively in reporting on electoral issues in the run-up to the election?
Well, I must say one major consequence of a repressive legislative framework is self-censorship. As a journalist, you wouldn't want them to be picked up from your office and charged under criminal defamation or any other law that we believe that is ultra-virus the constitution, the new constitution that we have. So self-censorship, yes, is prevalent among journalists. They know what to say. They know how to cover events and so forth. Even though, I should say, when it comes to event reporting, they've done extremely well under the circumstances, because we are getting to know who has said what, when, and with who. So that on its own has at least contributed in terms of providing information for Zimbabweans or for the electorate as it were. But then the other issue really is that you see the polarization in interpretation, in interpreting events as it were. We find that the state-run media or the state-hijacked media, which, why I'm saying hijacked, because these are supposed to be public media, but they've been hijacked by the state, are actually only giving, focusing on one side of the story. That is, they're giving more airtime to the ZANU-PF contestants more than their opponents. So that is another issue. But this is a manifestation of the failure by the inclusive government to put in place adequate safeguards for insulating the public media from political manipulation and abuse.
So you're therefore saying that both major parties are to blame for the stifling of freedom of expression, since both parties did not implement measures that would insulate journalists from such acts of violence and repression. Is that a case?
Indeed. I think even though one arm of government, which is the MPC formations, all along in the last 4.5 years, they did express their intention and their desire to reform the media space, but nothing much or nothing tangible was done by them. We didn't see any forceful push for these reforms, even in parliament. We can count on one hand the number of motions or the number of times that parliamentarians from the MDC formations actually were advocating media reforms in the House. That on its own tells you that the prioritization was misplaced, that is, with regards to media reforms. But having said that, you then have to sort of compare the two. You know that the ZANU-PF arm of government made it clear that they believed that the status quo was fine. They did not see any reasons whatsoever that there would be any reasons for media reforms. So the MDC, besides their political rhetoric around this issue, was not even clear in terms of the form and content of the reforms that they were looking for. That is during the course of the coalition government. But now I think our hope really are pinned on the new constitution, which new constitution now has provisions on explicit guarantees for media freedom, press freedom, access to information and so forth. We never used to have this. So that's a plus. But then it depends on what then happens post the poll voting on Wednesday. Are we going to have a government that genuinely seeks to reform the media space, or are we going to have a government that will just stick on what is there at the moment?